Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning we're restarting our sermon series studying Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the Philippians. We've had a short break due to the death of Her Late Majesty the Queen and, of course, our wonderful Harvest Festival last weekend. So it's a few weeks since Simon began exploring this wonderfully rich letter. A few reminders, because it has, as I said, been about 4 weeks since we started. In the first week, we thought about how all who come to Jesus can bear fruit, whatever our circumstances. There is something for every Christian to do. We can all play our part. We may be called to different things. Not all of us can be teachers, apostles, evangelists, but as Christians, we can all pray. And Paul urges us to do just that. In our second sermon, we learnt that God is at work in a most unexpected way through Paul, who was in prison and in chains, chained possibly to his jailers, as Simon explored, getting amazing results because he wouldn't stop talking about Jesus. And the jailers had no choice but to listen. And those seeds that Paul planted took root, grew, and blossomed. Paul placed his entire life into God's hands and expected him to work through him. And this gave him courage to boldly proclaim Jesus as Lord of all, an exceptionally courageous thing to do in the first century Roman-occupied Israel and Palestine, where it was only Caesar who was viewed and declared as Lord of all, and to do otherwise would put yourself in real danger. We too can expect God to be at work in our lives, and in the words of the principal of Ridley Hall, words familiar to Ben and Lucinda, and of course myself, when God is at work, we can expect the unexpected. Now, when I started looking at this passage for our sermon this morning, I realised it had a great hymn, the hymn to Christ, declaring what he is and what he has done. And I thought, great, but what can I say about this? There's too much to say. Oh, but the more I read, I realised that God was taking my thinking in a completely unexpected direction. Because for me, the words that really popped out were the same mind of Christ and as Christ. Because it struck me as I listened back to Simon's sermons that having urged all Christians to pray and telling them that all Christians could pray and should pray, he expands on this to say all Christians should live in a way that reveals Jesus to others. Not just in the way we behave and act, but also in the way we think, in our mindset, our attitudes, our interior lives. What we think shapes our behaviour, and our inner thoughts shape our exterior attitudes. Key theme of this letter is developing and nurturing our minds and aligning them so that they're the same as Jesus's. Paul mentions same mind in every chapter. In this passage, he mentions it 3 times alone. Same mind, same love, being in full accord of one mind. And concludes in verse 5, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. As I said, this is a theme we see throughout the letter. I'll remind you in chapter 1, verse 27. He said, as Christians, we should be striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. And let me take you forward a couple of weeks to chapter 3, where he encouraged us to be of the same mind. And in the final chapter, where there's some arguments going on in the church, he urges the women who are arguing to be of the same mind in the Lord. So this repetition of same mind as Jesus highlights how important it was for Paul that Jesus' followers should be of the same mind. The focus of this letter is on this unity with others within the body of Christ. And Paul wrote a lot about disunity and discord in the early church. And sadly, this is a problem that's not confined to the early church. It's a challenge to the church today, and it's just as serious. Unity and diversity. Is this an oxymoron? An impossible dream? We started our thinking last year in our LLF series about diversity and how important it is to be an inclusive, welcoming church, a church for all, regardless of our background, gender or sexuality. Unity without diversity is oppressive. Diversity ensures inclusion. We can take real encouragement from Paul's words this morning, because whatever our church tradition, our belief in who Jesus is and what he did is the same. We can all agree that Jesus is the Son of God, and he is the only Lord of all heaven and earth. And therefore we can be of the same mind. To have the same mind as Christ, we need to know him better, and we need to learn to think and act like him. Now verses 5 to 11 show us who Jesus was and what he did. That he was the Son of God, he was humble, he was self-sacrificial, and he was obedient to the point of death. Studying the Bible is one easy way for us to get to know Jesus, and we can all do that, can't we? We can pick up our Bibles and read on a daily basis, which I encourage you to do. And when we look at the Gospels and Paul's letters in particular, that's how we get to know who Jesus was and what he did. We learn that he was not only humble and obedient, but he was kind, compassionate, loving, accepting. He would help anyone who came to him who asked for help. And he always put others first. He honoured them, respected them, and relinquished himself. How countercultural does this sound in our current society? This passage, however, also highlights to us what the opposite is of the mind of Christ. And it's a warning, I think, to us to watch our attitudes and our behaviour. Paul tells us the mind of Christ was not these list of things. I encourage you to go back to the passage a bit later and have a look, but I'll just list them. Selfish ambition, self-importance, self-interested only, regarding yourself as better than others or arrogantly looking down on them. Was this kind of behaviour shaping the church in Philippi, where people may have been insisting on getting their own way in certain things? Was there a refusal to be like-minded? Is this a challenge for the church today? It's certainly a challenge in all human relationships, inside and outside the church. Because how we think profoundly influences how we live and behave. What we read, watch, and listen shapes our minds and affects who we are and who we become. Now, a scenario for you. Just imagine you're out late at night, let's say 10:30, for a walk on the wreck. It's dark, cold. Well, it's autumn now, isn't it? And you suddenly spot a large group of young, big people coming towards you, jostling, chatting, maybe shouting, laughing a bit too loudly. And they're coming to you en masse. What are you thinking? How are you feeling? What are you going to do? Now, if I told you this group of young people were leaving a Bible study with Zoe, how would you think then? They've been talking about our passage this morning. So, does that change how you think, feel, and what you're going to do? One example of how certain things may affect our thinking. And what Paul is trying to get us to think about is the more God occupies our thoughts, the more we become like Jesus, the more our minds become like his, the same mind as Christ. But we have to beware, because our current culture bombards us with images. There's the cult of the young, beautiful, and successful. And all social media, anything you can think of, will encourage and manipulate us to be like this, to just have this, to, if you do that, then you're going to be happy, you're going to be fulfilled. But not all the images we're bombarded with are positive. There's a really destructive side to all this, which can lead to body dysmorphia, profound dissatisfaction, and low self-esteem. Sadly, young people are suffering in ever greater numbers from depression, self-harm, and even suicide. So Paul is clear that we need to nurture our inner lives and align them to Jesus, to transform our minds to become like him. But how are we going to do this? Well, we've thought a bit about reading the Bible and seeing who Jesus was, and taking time to pray to God and spend time with him, rooting our lives in his word. And we've also thought a bit about following Jesus' example in the little acts of love, being kind and having an attitude of gratitude, and loving and serving others. As Paul reminds us today, Jesus did everything for us. He was willing to give up everything, even his life, for you and for me. The question is, what are we willing to do in return? Let our lives be proof of his love, and let them tell the story of God's transforming love. Amen.